All right, so today we're going to have the definitive NBA midseason preview.
Definitive.
So, definitive of me and Vlad Ali Amir Jones McFly, the 13th Esquire.
What up?
So Buzz Howe, streets have been asking for this definitive midseason preview like 2 weeks ago. I was like, can we talk about the Super Bowl first? And then it was like, when we do this midseason preview, I'm like, well, we're going to talk about the fact that my team just won the Super Bowl. So now, last week I said, all right, next week we're going to have the definitive NBA midseason review. I've been saying preview the entire time. I meant review. Definitive midseason review. I sent out, hey, just do your research, whatever. No streets, no Jackson, no Ness.
Well, Jackson and Ness ain't going to be here because they want to talk about the Lakers. Come on.
That was my next point. So joining us on the show will be J-Marie 3. You want to talk? J-Marie 3, we are doing the definitive NBA midseason review. Do you want in? You don't?
No, I haven't been watching.
Well, watch.
Why's nobody on?
Because everyone's a loser. Well, okay, to be fair, Streets is away on business, so that'd be fair. But, you know, everyone else.
Why don't you just do it without me?
We are doing a valley. We're on live right now, by the way. J-Marie 3 didn't appreciate that. So, so let's jump into it. So, we're gonna jump right into it. First, McFly, who is your best team so far?
Hate to say it, but until they're beaten, I gotta say the champions are the best team in the NBA right now.
Sorry.
They got the best player in the NBA. The new Robin is now somewhat trying to go back into form the way we remember him now. Bosh is still Bosh. Mm-hmm. And the best player in the NBA is playing better than he's ever played. Until anybody beats that guy, I gotta say they're the best team. Kills me to say it.
It shouldn't kill you to say it anymore. I mean,
well, I'm a Knicks fan.
Fair enough. Okay, if you're saying from a Knicks perspective, that makes sense. If you're saying it from a "I hate LeBron," that doesn't make any sense. All right. You know what's funny? I was gonna say Oklahoma City, but I mean, LeBron's playing out of his mind, and I mean the Heat. There's a one seed in the East. I know they don't have the best. They don't have the best record, but then again, since when does that mean anything? I guess you got to give it to the Heat. I give it to the Heat. Worst team.
Shit, worst team. How many different directions can we go here?
We went a lot of different directions.
I will say the worst team.
Go ahead.
I will go out to the default. Worst team in basketball, Charlotte Bobcats. Go to the default. I mean, what's good about them?
That's true. Phoenix is pretty damn bad.
Actually, there's a couple of bright spots. Like, I feel like if the dude Bismack Biyombo was on a contender, he'd be a real difference maker.
He's better than
Kemba's. You know,
would be.
Yeah, Kemba's. You know, Kemba's still Kemba Walker. Joe Hudson would be a good third wheel in a contender, but obviously he's being forced to be more than the third wheel. And other than, I mean, Kip Gilchrist, I'm not even sure what he's doing.
Wait a minute. Who says the third wheel?
Gerald Henderson.
What should he? Oh, he should be like the fifth or sixth wheel.
No, I'm saying he'd be a decent third wheel on a good team, but he's probably not in Charlotte.
That's a damn shame if you can't be the third best player in Charlotte, though. Jesus Christ.
No, he is. He's probably more than the third best player in Charlotte. That's the problem. Yeah, the problem is he's being asked to do more than the third wheel.
I vote for Phoenix, and Phoenix actually goes out and signs people and still stinks. Like,
that's true.
I don't know. Like, granted, now Michael Beasley isn't exactly world be free, but I mean, this dude was the number two pick in the draft.
Uh oh. Nerlens just went down. He's holding his knee.
Oh, man. So, Jackson's somewhere crying. He's
screaming.
Really? Oh, I got to turn this TV on. I got to turn the TV on. So, yeah, my vote is for Phoenix. Your vote is for...
I'm going with the Bobcats.
Can't really blame me for the Bobcats.
But you bring up a good point. Phoenix actually signs people, and they still stink.
Oh, actually, no. Actually, I got worse. To me, worst team in the league, Sacramento Kings. I don't care what their record is. I don't care who they got. I don't care how much talent they got. They are terrible. They are
pretty bad.
And partially because of the talent that they have. Like, they're horrific. And what makes it horrific is that, and Ness and I discussed this earlier, that they have a bunch of guys that were, if they were on other teams, like, I think I'm not ready to give up on Thomas Robinson. I'm not giving up on Jimmy Fredette.
Nope.
I wouldn't even give up on Tyreek Evans. Like, oop, that's my phone. I wouldn't give up on Tyreek Evans. I just think that he can't be the first or second best player. He can't be like three best players on your team.
The mistake is they're trying to make him a point guard. He's not a point guard. Give it up.
He's not. Like, that team is just horrid. Horrid. That's my worst team in the league. Like,
yeah, they're pretty bad.
Sorry.
How does Bob Canada feel about that? OKC Thunder to the Sacramento Kings in a matter of about 5 years.
Well, you know what? The OKC Thunder, they were god-awful when they left.
That is true.
I mean, it's like how people always say, like, you know, that's a bad job. Why would you take that job? There's no such thing as a bad job in the NBA.
Nope. There's only, what, 30 of them?
There's only 30 of them. I'm going to ask you a question. Did anyone touch Nerlens Noel?
No, he just landed wrong.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. That's why it's bad.
Okay, I'm looking.
They showed you the replay now.
I'm looking at it right now. Oh yeah. Oh, his knee just—he kind of just buckles.
Yeah, he just lands wrong.
Oh, that sucks. All right, Nerlens. All I'm gonna say is this: if you walk out 10 minutes, 5 minutes later, a la Paul Pierce, I will never speak to you again. But I hope
He ain't walking anywhere.
He's not walking anywhere. This is thrilling radio. We're talking about a game that by the time people listen to this will have happened 12 hours ago.
Well, this is NBA related because these garbage teams were thinking about drafting this guy we're talking about, and now they might not be talking about drafting this guy.
That's true. Poor guy. Most surprising team not named the New York Knicks.
When you say surprising, I guess that has to be a good thing, right?
Yes.
Okay, not surprising.
That's a good question.
Okay. Most surprising team, I'll go between Indiana, given that Hibbert's playing like shit, and Danny Granger has played a game, and they're still pretty damn good. And, of course, Mark Jackson's Golden State Warriors.
Okay, I'd also... The Warriors are good. The Warriors are a decent play. I would have to say... Actually, you know what? To be fair, I'm going to say Chicago, and here's why. Because I made a bet...
Yes, you did.
...that they would not win 40 games this year. Because I ever looked at my house and I said, name their starting five as we bring in Ness.
What's up?
Yeah, we're going through the list. I'm going most surprising team not named the Knicks. McFly picked. Who'd you pick, McFly?
I got between Indiana and Golden State.
And I picked Chicago, partially because I picked them to not win 40 games next year. And right now they have 30-21. So I have to eat some crow and say they're my most surprising team. Yes, who's your most surprising team this year, not named the Knicks?
My most surprising team is gonna be Golden State, yo. I just think they're doing their thing. I mean, especially without Andrew Bogut, I didn't think they were gonna be a playoff team without Bogut. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here. I didn't think they'd be a playoff team either. I looked at that roster and I was like, Mark Jackson get these fools to play defense, but
Steph Curry being healthy the whole time, like, you know what I mean? And then Harrison Barnes and Klay Thompson both stepping up, like, that was just random.
I tell you what. Let's recap for you. Let's catch you up. We're not that deep into it. Who's your best team?
Who's my what team?
Best team.
Best team? Miami Heat. Miami, they're coasting right now, man. Just waiting for the playoffs, man. They're chilling right now. Watch, they're going to start sitting Wade a bunch of games coming up after the All-Star break, just to rest him.
All right. We both said the Heat. Worst team?
Charlotte Bobcats. I don't care who they drafted with that pick. It wasn't going to happen. And I'm not a fan of Michael Kidd-Gilchrist at all, yo. I don't think he's got it. And I remember, yo, just checking through that email you sent today, how we were talking about how he has no offensive game at all. And, yo, so far he has no offensive game this season. Yo, he's trash. I'm not buying into it. They got Ramon Sessions leading the way, so I'm good on the Bobcats.
You should have known it was going to end bad when Nate signed Ramon Sessions.
Yeah, definitely. After the tragedy he did with my team last year, I'm good.
But I will say this. I mean, they have more wins this year than they had last year. So I guess that's progress.
And they're getting a top five pick this year again, probably. To Michael Jordan to throw it away.
Yeah, I was about to say.
To take Ben McLemore.
They're going to draft James McAdoo.
All right, yeah. So McFly had said Charlotte, and I said Sacramento. Not because, I mean, Sacramento's just bad. Like, they're just annoyingly bad. And they have talent, and they're bad.
Yeah, they got the wrong talent, though, man. They got all the bad. It's like that classroom where they put all the bad kids that don't know how to behave. And they got that one teacher that just don't care to be there.
Sacramento Kings, the special education team of the NBA.
Led by DeMarcus Cousins.
Led by Boogie Cousins, a.k.a. Rasheed Wallace Jr. All right, so we went through most surprising team. The most disappointing team not named the Los Angeles Purple Ribbon All-Stars. I will start with Ness.
You know what? That's tough, yo, because there's two teams that I feel like really one of them is not their – well, both of them is kind of not their fault. It's injuries. But I was going to say the tie between the Timberwolves and the 76ers, Andrew Bynum and Jason Richardson both out for the season. Those were, I think, both the pieces that they got in that trade, so they pretty much got nothing. Then with the Timberwolves, you got Kevin Love just going down. Brandon Roy, that was a terrible idea. Terrible, terrible idea. Dude played three games. No, he played two, matter of fact. I think two or three games the whole season. That's it. And luckily, they got some clause in his contract where they don't have to pay him the money if he doesn't play, at least 60% of the season. So I think they're good with that money off the books. But and then they had Rubio. Rubio took a long time to get back. Waited a long time for Rubio to get back in action. I thought he would be back a little quicker, but I mean,
don't let this Adrian Peterson is fucking up everyone's money. If you're not back within 6 months, they're like from ACLs, like, yo, what's wrong with you, dog?
Yeah, look at Derrick Rose. He's still not back, so I should have known.
And Derrick Rose actually said, listen, don't wait up. Basically
said that today. He said, I'm a long time away.
Yeah, he's still got a minute away. You know, I hope they don't rush him too, man. I really hope they don't, man. I like watching him play.
Right. Yeah, rush him for what? 30-21.
Word.
I want to go step back a little bit. My other vote for most surprising team are the Houston Rockets, because I also didn't think they'd get 40 wins this year, and they're at 28 wins.
Yo, did we board bet that?
We did board bet that. I feel like I actually still have a chance to win that one, but like Chicago, I'm throwing in the towel. I'm gonna lose that one. But Houston, yeah.
Did we say that before they got Harden or after they got Harden?
I said after Harden. I was like, they're still not winning 40 games.
Oh, okay, okay.
Now, yeah. Had I known that Kevin McHale is going to turn to Mike D'Antoni Jr. and had these dudes scored 116 points a game, but whatever. I mean, you can get 40 wins if you put up 110 or whatever the hell they're putting up. McFly, most disappointing team, not named team in purple.
Yeah, not named Sixers. I'm going to have to go with the Boston Celtics, actually.
Oh, you should have known that.
I thought Jason Terry, I thought that would work out a little bit better than it has. I mean, the Rondo thing, obviously, well, actually, it hasn't really hurt them because they've been playing better without Rondo somehow. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't think they'd be world beaters, but I didn't think they'd be straggling 500 most of the season.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, yo. I thought they had a real good team, man, when things started out. And, you know, I don't know, defensively they struggled, man. I think they struggled real half defensively, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on over there in Boston, man. They got a solid team. They got Jeff Green, you know, the big three. Sullinger came through and was playing real well. Barbosa came off the bench doing his thing. I don't know how it's not working.
Jeff Green is like Jeff Green's like feast or famine. Jeff Green's feast or famine. They can't score. Like watching them offensively is just a chore. And yet somehow they scored 100 on LA in three quarters. But that's neither here nor there. Mm. My most disappointing team, I kind of wanted to say Memphis in the sense that I thought they'd be a top. After the first 2 weeks, I thought they'd be a top three seed in the conference. I thought that the whole Gasol and Zach Randolph down low thing, like that was the elixir to beat everyone else in the West, particularly. We know what they can do against San Antonio. I figure they can do something in a seven-game series against OKC. This time around, they can do something. But then again, they're still fourth in the West. I'm not killing them. My most disappointing team, and it's kind of not their fault, is Le Boulay, the Washington Wizards. Because they're not 15-35 bad.
Have you watched them lately?
Yes.
They make excellent teams.
They're not that bad. Like if they had Wall and Nene all season, now granted, having Nene all season, I mean, don't hold your breath, but if they had Wall all season, I think they'd be contending for the AFC.
I agree.
They're not great. Like Martell Webster can go fly a kite, but they're not that bad. So
Nah, and you know what, though? They might make a push still for the playoffs, even with the team they got now. It's still the Eastern Conference at the end of the day, man. You can still make the playoffs with a dollar and a dream. So
well, right now, they are 15-35, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Milwaukee has the eighth spot, so they are the 10 games out of the eighth spot. I don't think they can climb out of that. They need to win, like, 12 out of 14. And
they're not. Maybe lucky and get a good draft pick, too, and it just complement everything they got already.
Yeah, except for this draft is trash, but see the hitter.
Amazing. No, I'll be stopped.
Most valuable player. Can we just say it's LeBron and move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay. Most improved player, McFly.
Shit, most improved player. That is a good damn question. My first guess, I mean, I didn't do my homework.
Really?
I think George.
That's a good call.
I'll say Paul George. I'm actually not going to take your guys' possible answers. I'll say Paul George for now.
Yes?
I was going to say Paul George, and, you know, he took over. He pretty much took over that Pacers team. To the point where now I didn't think about trading Danny Granger. But you could also say Vasquez from the Hornets, Gravis Vasquez.
That's a good call.
Yeah, I've always liked Gravis from college, too.
Yeah, I feel like you're a Maryland fan, yo.
I'm nowhere near a Maryland fan.
I don't know why, but for some reason I feel like we've gotten into conversations about Maryland basketball a couple times.
No, I hate Juan Dixon, hate Lonnie Baxter. I'm nowhere near a Maryland fan.
You hated Juan Dixon?
How do you hate Juan Dixon? Wasn't he like a crack baby or something like that?
I didn't hate him as a person. I thought he was overrated. You know, Sean, I told you all along. I thought Steve Blake was the best guy on the team.
That is true. I never yet. Juan Dixon was the best. Well, he was the marquee player on those Maryland teams. But yeah, Steve Blake was the better player, and he's still around.
And they were possibly the worst national champion of all time in basketball.
Oh, man, the worst
game was the absolute snooze fest.
Yeah, maybe. That was a rough year, man. I just remember the battles between Juan Dixon and Maryland team against like Jay Williams and those Duke teams. Yo, those used to be epic.
Well, yeah, those Duke Maryland games were epic.
Back then, yes.
Yes.
Remember the comeback? Woo!
Oh, going in 60 seconds?
Yeah, man. That was great. I had that on tape.
I never forget that damn game. So for me, most improved player, I'm actually going to say, I mean, there's a couple guys that come. There's two guys that come to mind, and they both play in the same team. One is Carmelo Anthony, and the other is J.R. Smith. You still get bad J.R. sometimes, but you see a lot more good J.R., and he's doing a lot more things that he wasn't doing last year. And Melo, maybe it's because he found his teammates he can trust, but you see what's happening when he's trusting his teammates more, and he's not just like, all right. I mean, he still has games where he's like, all right, I'm going to gun it, although usually he's on fire. But, you know, I think you can make a case for them. The other guy I'd say,
I got JR for a different award, but I feel
the other guy I would say is
Could go Jeff Teague.
If you had him on your fantasy team, you knew he was ready to do this last year.
Yeah, I honestly, mine is J.R. Smith, although I know he's not going to win it. But I'll just go with J.R. Smith. Sixth man of the year. Hey! J.R. Smith! No.
My sixth man.
He's up there.
Yeah, that's why I had J.R. Smith as well. I mean, the only person that's competing with him right now is Jamal Crawford.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, let's go and say Kevin Martin.
No.
Kevin Martin, yeah, that's true. That's true, because he did just step in and take, you know, James Harden's spot, and, you know, they hit the ground running.
He took his spot.
On the roster.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But that will be seen when the playoffs come, how well Kevin Martin can fill in for James Harden.
That's what I'm waiting for.
I got an instant question, and I don't know the answer to this. Who was the last sixth man of the year to play the power forward or the center position?
The last six men to be a power forward or center?
I'm not sure who it is.
I was going to say Antonio Davis, but I feel like he started. But didn't Elton Brand win the sixth man one time? Or Anton Jameson? One of those two, Jameson, I feel like.
The guy I'm thinking about, but he was like a 3-4 type of dude.
That was on Jameson, the map, I remember.
Thinking about. Yeah.
Hmm. But you asked forward or center?
Power forward or center. Yeah.
Like all the six men now are like wing guys and guards.
That's true, because you know why? Because like if you're 6'10 and up can walk and chew gum at the same time, you're probably gonna start.
Yeah, the big man spot in the league is not too crazy.
I should say Ryan Anderson.
You can say Lamar Odom, technically. But besides that, it's been, yeah, all guards. Jason Terry, Jamal Crawford, Barbosa, James Harden, Mike Miller, Ben Gordon. Anton Jameson was the last guy, so we kind
of
caught that.
Ryan Anderson, he won sixth man of the year?
Who?
Ryan Anderson.
No, he started.
Am I bugging? I don't know why I thought he was sixth man.
Last year, he should have won it, but James Harden got it over him last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my bad. Bobby Jackson won that way back. I remember that. And then had Corliss Williamson, and then we just keep going back and back and back. But it's still all guards. It's all guards except for, like, Corliss Williamson, Anton Jameson, and Lamar Odom.
All right. Rookie of the year.
Hands down, Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
It was close in the beginning, but he just separated himself after a while.
Basically, can't really go against him.
Oh, Ryan Anderson did win most improved last year. That's what I was thinking of.
Good call.
So Damian Lillard, rookie of the year. All right.
Trying to think of somebody else, but I can't.
Say that again.
Trying to think of somebody else, but I can't. Unless you want to say the offensively inept Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Come on, man.
Andre Drummond B.
He's going to be all right in 2 years, though. Don't sleep on Drummond. Give him 2-3 years. He'll be all right.
Yeah, he's done some things this year that just have you like, whoa, like, man, once he gets it together, if he does, it'll be scary.
Looks like I whiffed on that one. Will the Los Angeles Purple Ribbon All-Stars make the playoffs? I will start with the L.A. fan. Yes. And as a reminder, the Los Angeles Purple Ribbon All-Stars are 24-28. Three and a half games out of the AFC.
Nah, when Gasol went down, it was just like, all right, this is over, man. And this whole Dwight Howard thing is driving everybody crazy, and it's not gonna happen. I don't think we're gonna make the playoffs. And if we don't, that draft pick goes to Phoenix, which sucks. So it's really like nothing. We're not getting nothing for this season unless they do something before the trade deadline.
I'm looking now. They are now the 10th seed.
Yes,
they have a shot. You know what? This is what I'm going to say. If Kobe Bryant is the great player that we all give him credit for, they better not miss the playoffs. If Kobe Bryant is, like, the close thing to Michael Jordan, like, we compare him to Mike or whatever it is, if he's that type of dude, you better not miss the playoffs. I mean, yeah, they have issues. Kyle's not in the lineup. Dwight Howard's a bitch. Steve Nash is old. I get it. But you're Kobe fucking Bryant. Get it done.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think if at the beginning of the season, what is that sound? Oh. Ness always be cooking on the air. If I said at the beginning of the season, a team of Kobe Bryant, Paul Gasol, Dwight Howard, and Steve Nash would not make the playoffs, you would pour beer on my head. So. You're right, Kobe Bryant. If you are one of the 10 best players of all time, you make the damn playoffs of that team. Although, I mean,
with what team?
You have Dwight. Now, granted, Dwight's not himself, but even 60% of Dwight still leads the league in rebounding. Listen, Kobe made the playoffs with Smush Parker and Slava Medvedenko and
Luke Walton,
Lamar Odom, and you can get like
their record actually wasn't as bad as this team though right now. Like the dysfunction wasn't there, man. Like,
I agree, but if see the great players find a way, like the great players find a way. Like, all right, listen, like think about it. If I say 5 years ago, if Kobe Bryant and Dwight Howard own a basketball team together, they should be the We're not talking about they should be an AFC. They should find a way. They should make the playoffs. They should make the playoffs. Listen, even the dysfunctional ass Knicks of D'Antoni made the playoffs. And those fuckers are dysfunctional as shit.
And Earl Clark is balling. Not for nothing.
Earl Clark is balling. Yeah.
And Ron Artest is playing decent ball too. Not like they have a bunch of bums in Kobe.
Oh, Ron, let me tell you something about Ron. I respect Ron's ability to not be afraid to shoot, but Jesus Christ.
D'Antoni promotes that. That's the problem, D'Antoni. If you're open, shoot it. You hear him on the TV, Wired Buzz or whatever. If you're open, shoot it. Even Kobe tells him, man, shoot it. Listen, it's crazy. He's like fourth in the league and made three-pointers right now this season.
Me and McFly both subscribe to the axiom. If you have an open shot, take it. So it's not that he's open, he's taking a shot. It's that you ever notice at least once or twice, about twice a game, he'll get a rebound and it's like, I'm just going to go coast to coast. And it's like, Ron.
Or he'll get an ISO, but nobody else is moving out the way on his team. ISO, like White still posted right there. Like, no ISO. He just gets his head down and he just drives in.
Like, Meta. All right. So speaking of the Los Angeles Purple Ribbon All-Stars, can we come up with a trade that actually makes sense? I'm going to my trade machine right now.
I have one ready already, man.
All right, spit it.
All right, cool. So basically, this trade is not really for this season. This trade is basically one of two things. First off, if you're LA, you got to keep Dwight Howard. Kobe is gone in 2 years. If Dwight leaves, if you trade away Dwight Howard this season and you lose Kobe in 2 years, that's so much of a huge failure on the side of the GM, ownership, management, leadership, anything that goes on in that organization's front office is a huge failure. How do you lose Dwight Howard and Kobe Bryant? So what they got to do right now is make it a situation where Dwight Howard feels like it's impossible for him to leave Los Angeles. Now, if I'm Dwight, I can walk away from Pau Gasol, no problem. I can walk away from Kobe Bryant, no problem. I can walk away from Steve Nash, no problem, because they're all old. You know, everybody else over there is on the downhill side of their career. So what I'm proposing is a trade right now. You take Pau Gasol, trade him and Devin Ebanks, who a lot of people forgot about, who was playing really well at the end of last season, but just got his spot ran by Earl Clark. Pau Gasol and Devin Ebanks, and trade them over to the Minnesota Timberwolves for Kevin Love and Derek Williams. Now, Kevin Love isn't really happy in Minnesota. Ricky Rubio's already expressed, yo, if you don't want Pau, send him over here. That's been proven in the past. And Kevin Love is a young player that I feel like Dwight Howard couldn't walk away from if he knows he's teamed up with Kevin Love. And he's not going to be in the post as much as Pau Gasol would be clogging the lane. And he also fits Mike D'Antoni's system by being a shooting four. So I think that works out. And I know they want to get rid of Derek Williams because everybody knows he's a bust. And I think Devin Ebanks probably fits in a little bit better anyway. So Pau Gasol, him and Pekovic down there and on the block in the Timberwolves, that's a good front line for them. Ricky Rubio's good. He's got his mans over there. And then we also get Kevin Love to fit in the D'Antoni system and keep Dwight Howard in L.A.
That's a very interesting trade. And it works in a trade machine. McFlizzle, I know you're winging it.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to get to the trade machine now.
Yes, it's active a little bit. While McFly does that, I'll ask Ness a question. Let's say that trade doesn't happen, even though it makes sense. Let's say it doesn't happen. And I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think Con's going to give up on Kevin Love just yet.
Yeah, me either.
Let's say the team stays the way it is, the Lakers. Damn it, I said their name. Let's say L.A. stays the way they are. Does Dwight stay?
I think the odds are in our favor that he stays. I mean, there's a lot of money for him to leave up. Like, the Lakers are in the best spot to pay him compared to any of these other big-name teams that he mentioned. Like, Brooklyn can't pay him as much as L.A. can. So the money's there. The future is there if he can just get through one or two more seasons with Kobe and work that out. But, God, man, like, that dude's not, like, the normal, like man that we know. Like, I don't know nobody like that. Like, I don't deal with weird passive-aggressive people like that who say one thing, change their mind. And, like, for where I'm from, we call them fuckboys. And I don't really deal with them, like, around my circle. So I just leave them people away. But, I don't know, Dwight Howard might do some fuckboy shit like what he did in Orlando and just turn coat and go the other direction. But I really think that they can keep him. I really do. I really think they can keep him. The future's got to look bright, though, man. They got to have some type of plan, and they got to look like they're making something going on. I just don't know. But I think we got it.
I'm trying to put together a trade right now that involves center in the Eastern Conference. And as soon as damn trade machine cooperates, I'll tell you what it is.
What was the trade that Joe sent to us? He said Danny Granger.
Oh, actually, I have that in front of us. He proposed Josh Smith and Kyle Korver to Indiana for Danny Granger, Gerald Green, and a pick. And this is Joe Sargent, who you can read on singleblackmail.net every Tuesday. It's .org?
Yeah.
I always say .net.
Matter of fact, don't listen to me.
Actually, you know, so I used to think it was .org, it was .net. Okay. So Indiana gets two expiring contracts. Atlanta gets out from Josh Smith, who they hate as much as he hates them, factually correct. Atlanta adds money for the next couple of years, but they still have the cap room to sign someone this summer. They'd be about $35 million under the cap. And you know who they could sign?
Dwight Howard.
Ding!
Man, he don't want to go to Atlanta.
Why the hell not?
That's the thing he said. They say I have no interest in Atlanta.
He had no interest in L.A. neither, but guess what? He ended up there.
Yeah. Until his pops was like, yeah, he told me he wanted to go to L.A. in 2011.
But the weird thing is, the whole Dwight Howard to Atlanta thing is, they're saying part of what can sell them is his boy is Josh Smith.
So, yeah, they play AAU ball together.
So he took Josh.
I think it was Josh Smith, Dwight Howard, and Randolph Morris.
I'll tell you something right now. Any team with Dwight Howard and Josh Smith will win nothing.
Nada.
They will win absolutely nothing.
I agree.
Write that down. Take a picture of it.
Unless they got, like, Derrick Rose running a point.
You got to trade it for me, McFly, while I fiddle this trade machine.
I'm fiddling with the same trade machine and having the same amount of luck as you are.
I'm actually trying to think of this.
I can't even lie, yo. I was on there for a while trying to play with a couple of trades, man.
You know something? This trade may actually work All right, this trade could work, but I don't think it's going to happen before the trade deadline. But this trade could work if you trade that guy and this guy. Hold on. Damn it. Oh, you trade him. No, what they want to take. No, they take. Oh, here we go. Oh, ho, ho.
You got it?
I'm feeling myself now. I just got to throw in someone to make the money match up.
So. All right, so while you're doing that, I'll throw another one out there.
Go right ahead.
All right, so here's a trade that I came up with. It might go over a few people's heads. What the hell did I just do? It's a four-team deal, but I'll try to dumb it down just so it makes a little more sense. Just for this purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, where is it?
I don't think it's gonna work. Jeez. Oh, it's not gonna work.
All right, here we go. All right, so we all know that Al Jefferson is pretty much on a trading block, right, for Utah. And we also know that Boston's trying to, get rid of KG, and then also the Clippers are very interested in KG, right? And then there's also Bargnani, which is flying around on the Raptors, as, they're ready to get rid of him if they get a good offer. So what I came up with was a four-team deal between the Jazz, the Celtics, the Clippers, and the Raptors, basically sending Bargnani to the Jazz, Jefferson to the Celtics, KG to the Clippers, and DeAndre Jordan and Barbosa and Brandon Bass to the Raptors. Now, there's a couple other players mixed in there. I threw in Eric Bledsoe for the Jazz just because the Jazz need a point guard right now with Mo Williams out. And it works out. And I think it really improves the Raptors just because they get a good center in DeAndre Jordan, who can kind of play with Rudy Gay high above the rim, also with those lobs that Kyle Lowry's going to be throwing. And you also got Barbosa, who already played for Toronto at one point. So I think they'd be happy to have him back, backing up DeMar DeRozan. But the main thing was just the Clippers getting Garnett for basically Jordan, and the Celtics getting Al Jefferson, for KG, and also the Jazz getting Bargnani and Bledsoe for Al Jefferson.
So the trade I was trying to come up with was I was trying to find a taker for Andrew Bynum. Remember him?
Oh, God.
Now, the team I was looking to make the deal with, I'm looking at a team, it's like, all right, they're a team that's going to, that thinks they're close, or a team that thinks, okay, if we make this one big splash, we'll be back in it. And the team I was trying to get the trade popping off with was Dallas. But Dallas doesn't have the pieces to make it work.
You know the thing about trading Sean Marion, right?
I thought about that, but I'm like, does Philly want Sean Marion? And but Sean Marion's owed like $16 million over the next two seasons, I believe.
You know who might get traded but is screwed basically wherever he's going because no good teams really want him is J.J. Redick. That guy is screwed, man.
Why would a good team not want J.J. Redick?
Because all the good teams play defense. I was thinking Chicago, but I was like, there's no way Thibodeau wants J.J. Redick playing on wing.
Yeah, Kyle Korver.
Yeah, Kyle Korver, and he has Nate Robinson.
Kyle Korver's not as J.J. I think it was a period where J.J. Redick got crossed and fell in like three straight games or something.
He did, but listen, you can get – now, granted, Kyle Korver's like 6'7". That's a difference, but Thibodeau can – like, listen, it's all about team defense. I think J.J. O'Brien, listen, you stand here. You go here, you go there, you go back to here, and that's it. So, but I don't, yeah. Basically. And the other team I was looking at, because I didn't think Philly would trade. All right, here's a question. Should Philly trade Bynum?
No. Because right now they can't get anything for him. You got to sell him when he's high, not when he's not worth anything.
That's why I was trying to find a team that will jump out the window and be like, yeah, like basically do what Philly did.
Oh, God. At this point, he hasn't played one game, so I don't think anybody – people might think his career is over, actually. It might be like trading for Yao Ming in Houston when he was going through that stuff.
Oh, rest of the world. All right, you got to trade for McFly. If you don't, it's all right.
Nah, definitely. I have no trade. I mean, I'm just trying to think of what makes sense for certain teams. Yeah. And I'm struggling.
Yeah, I thought about – I was going to throw Sean Marion in that Bynum deal, but I was like, Philly's not taking this deal. They're not taking O.J. Mayo and Sean Marion. Basically, it would be Sean Marion, O.J. Mayo, and they probably throw in a pick. And I said that because Dallas is literally like, yo, we're wasting Dirk Nowitzki's prime. We didn't get Dwight Howard. We didn't get Darren Williams. Like our big haul in the last 3 years is O.J. Mayo.
So. That was actually a good move for them, but Darren Collison, too. Both of those were a good move. But I don't know, man. Dallas, they need another star. They need another star.
Half a star. All right.
Going to take DeMarcus Cousins from Sacramento?
Man, you got to have a strong coach.
I'm going to tell you the player who should move to a contending team. I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm going to tell you the player that I would like to see move to a contending team because I think it can really help him, especially Memphis. Jared Dudley should move to a contending team.
Hold on.
He seemed like a LeBron, like, bandwagon dude to kind of, you know, just jump over to the Heat.
Like, I think if Memphis could trade for a guy like Jared Dudley, they'd be good money. I think they need some scoring on the perimeter and wing. And they lost that one pretty good.
If he's cheap, I see him staying in Phoenix if they got him for cheap.
If Phoenix trades Dudley, they want asset. They want, like, either, like, picks. Or cap space or picks or something like that.
If the Lakers miss the playoffs, Phoenix has 2 lottery picks this year. And Oklahoma City actually has a lottery pick this year coming in from Toronto.
Oh, that was from the
Harden trade.
Rich get richer. All right, last question. NBA Finals prediction.
Miami Heat, for one, in the East, I'm going to say. The only team that could really take them down is Indiana, which I would like to see them play when Granger gets back. But if Indiana doesn't take down the Heat, nobody is. And then right now, yo, after seeing what the Spurs did to the Bulls without Duncan, Parker, Ginobili, or I think somebody else sat too, and they just beat the hell out of them. I was like, damn, man, I really want to see the Spurs coming back and make the finals, man. I would definitely like to see the Spurs play in the finals.
McFly?
Those are the two teams I was looking at. Miami and the Spurs, I got the Spurs winning.
The West now, is wide open. Miami. The West is wide open. Because San Antonio can beat Oklahoma City. Because like I told Raj Dean on the email the other day, That series changed when Serge Ibaka and Kendrick Perkins went 18 for 20 in game 3 or 4. Yep. And they will never go 18 for 20 ever again in their life.
Sure did.
That will never happen again. So they could definitely beat them. Obviously, you have Oklahoma City. My sleeper for out the West was Memphis. I think of Memphis has two guys. Like, there's two guys that you have to guard for 7 games. It's going to be difficult. But like, McFly said they need more wing scoring, and they just don't have it. I think the Knicks have a better chance to beat Indiana, to beat Miami than Indiana. And now I'm not saying they will. I'm saying I think they have a better chance for 2 reasons. One, if you – in a Miami-Indiana series, if you rank the 5 best players in the series – does Miami have the Miami easily has the first 3?
Well, not the first two. I would take Melo before I take Chris Bosh.
No. I'm saying no. If you took Miami and Indiana, and you rank those players, Miami would have the first 3. Listen, not that Chris Bosh is all world, but Paul George better than Chris Bosh?
No.
Exactly.
But it's the way that Indiana's built. Indiana's built like them old school NBA teams with size, you know, and they can really give Miami trouble. I think that's the only reason is because the way the team is set up and the way teams built. But
the problem is that's what everyone said last year, and Roy Hibbert couldn't take advantage.
Yeah, man, yo, he's really what's killing them, man. If Roy Hibbert was the old school Patrick Ewing type dude, man, Indiana would have had a chip probably right now.
Listen, Roy Hibbert's. I like Roy Hibbert. He's too nice.
Yo, he had to go to therapy because he lost his confidence, I remember, like a season or two ago. He had to go see a basketball psychologist.
Like, if Roy Hibbert was with half the Patrick Ewing, he'd be like, give me the damn ball. This guy, Joel Anthony can't guard me. Dexter Pittman can't guard me. So that's what I'm saying. Like, in a Miami-Indiana series, Indiana, like, Miami has the three best players in the whole series. Whereas in a Miami-New York series, Melo is arguably second, no worse than third. And he's playing better than Dwayne Wade right now. I don't give a damn what anyone says. So you have the Knicks have a player who thinks that he's LeBron and Wade's equal, and he's not afraid of them. You have a Tyson Chandler who's not afraid of them. You have a J.R. Smith who's, you know, he's not afraid of them. Like, they have a better, and Miami's perimeter defense has always been spotty, and they give up more threes than anybody. And listen, now, I think the key in a series like that is Raymond Felton, but I can't believe I'm previewing the Miami New York Eastern Conference Finals in February, so I'm going to stop now. Any last words from anybody?
No, no, I guess we got to see, man. LeBron is playing out of his mind. Yo, what's the count right now with the with what he's doing against Portland? I know he was going to work. Dude had like 6-4-6 at the end of the first quarter, something crazy like that.
I have no idea.
Yo, quick question, just to stir things up, yo, since it's all over the media today, do you think LeBron could be better than Jordan eventually at the end of his career?
Yep.
It's easily possible.
Yeah, it's possible. He has the tools.
What does he have to do for you guys to say, okay, now he's the new standard?
Rob, you have to get the six.
Yeah, obviously you got to get the six.
You really need the six? I don't think he needs six. He could do four, and I could probably, you know.
But see, the thing is, Jordan won six titles and six Finals MVPs.
Yeah, you got to match. You got to at least get the six rings. You only need the six MVPs, but you got to get six rings.
He'll get the six MVPs.
Unless you get – no, I'm talking about Finals MVPs.
Mm.
Like, unless he gets five and he just dominates and he just dominates in the last two championships. But I mean, you have to get to five at least.
Five, I'll give him five. But I think what he has to do is just kind of like, if he keeps playing the way he's playing now and he's shooting like, I think he's 70% for the last five games. I mean, if he just keeps getting better and all of a sudden he starts hitting three-pointers all the time. Like, I mean, when LeBron starts making the three consistently, I don't know what. Yeah, he's got it in my book. And I think that right now he's on track if he keeps playing the way he's playing. But that team has to stay together. And Jordan, you know, he had a squad. I mean, he had a squad. Jordan had a squad.
That second go-around was nuts.
Hmm?
That second go-around, the team he had the second go-around was nuts.
Yeah. Didn't they only lose two more games? The year, I think, who said this on ESPN? It doesn't matter who said it. But, dude was like, they went 57 games in 93. He left, they won 55 games.
that's definitely true. Because as a kid, I always argued, like, yo, if Jordan's so important, why are they still, you know, contending without him? And then I don't know if you noticed, there's some point in time where without Pippen, they were 3-9.
Mm-hmm.
But without Jordan, obviously, they went to the playoffs and basically pushed the Knicks to seven games.
Mm.
I mean, I was a stupid kid, of course, but...
Alright, so I guess that is the definitive 718, this is it, NBA midseason review for Vlad Joe McFly and Young Ness. I'm William H. Straff, and this is it.